Hi, welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski, and this is the 12-minute shiur number 16, Coercion and Staka. As always, you can find and download the source sheet at our website, www.frihofinstitute.org/learning, and scroll down to the 12-minute shiur. This installment is the fourth in a series of shiurim on the interplay between consent and coercion in the halakha. In this installment, we'll see that the halakha permits us to coerce an individual into fulfilling a mitzvah of the Torah, even when the Torah apparently forbids that kind of coercion. The mitzvah is tzedakah. As Rambam puts it in his Mishneh Torah, lines 1 through 10 on the source sheet, Mitzvat aseh liten staka la'aniyim kefi ma sheraui la'ani. It is a positive mitzvah to give tzedakah to the poor in the amount that they deserve, should the donor be able to afford it. As it is said, and here's the proof text, Shene'amar patoch tiftach et yadcha lo, Deuteronomy 15, verse 8, you shall surely open your hand to him. He goes on to give other proof texts, but as we'll see, Deuteronomy 15 is the important one. So tzedakah is a positive mitzvah. And in Halakha 10 of that chapter, lines 15 through 23, Rambam tells us that a person can be coerced into fulfilling this mitzvat aseh, this positive mitzvah. Mi she'eno rotze liten tzedakah, should one not want to give tzedakah, or should one give less than is appropriate for him, the Beit Din may coerce that individual, applying corporal punishment, makinoto, means they can beat him until he gives the amount that was assessed for him. And if you don't want to do that, the Beit Din may also attach a person's assets, with or without their consent, confiscating the assessed amount. Public authorities may take a pledge for tzedakah, even on Fridays. What's the deal with Fridays? Well, we'll get to that. The point, as we all know, is that tzedakah is not charity. It's not a free will gift made out of compassion and mercy. It's a matter of tzedek, of justice. It's an obligation. You've got to do it. Rambam derives this halakha, as usual, from the Talmud, in this case, Bava Batra 8b, which we find on lines 28 through 34. Amar mar ein osin srarut ala tzibur pachot mishnayim. A minimum of two persons is required to, in order to exert coercive authority over the community. The Gemara asks, "Mai sraruta?" Well, what is meant by coercive authority? Rav Nachman explains in the name of Rabba Barabua, this refers to the case of mimashkanim ala tzedakah afilu be'erev Shabbat, the taking of pledges for tzedakah even on Fridays. Rashi explains, in lines 29 and 37, that Friday, or Erev Shabbat, is a day on which we are busy preparing for Shabbat. So we could make the reasonable claim to the tzedakah collectors that, hey, we're not in a position to deal with this right now. Come back to me on Sunday. The answer is, no, we'll take that pledge right now while you're here in the marketplace, even though you're busy. Tzedakah is that important. The Gemara continues on line 40. Ine v'hakativ ufakadati al kol lochatzav. Is that so? But isn't it said by Jeremiah in chapter 30, I will punish all who oppress my people, which, according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Marta in the name of Rav, applies even to tzedakah collectors, which would mean, tachlis, that tzedakah collectors shouldn't bother donors on Friday. Leave them alone. Don't be so insistent. But the Gemara says, la kasha, these two statements, in fact, do not contradict. Ha de amid, ha de la amid. Coercion may be applied when the individual has been appraised, or Rashi tells us he's rich enough to afford the appraised amount, but coercion may not be applied if the individual has not been so appraised. The example is that Rava coerced Rav Natan Bar Ami and extracted from him 400 zuzim for tzedakah, so obviously he had the money. This coercive power, of course, no longer exists in practice. Today, we have to beg and plead with people to give tzedakah. We can't force them to do so. Still, in theory at least, the halakha permits us, the community, to coerce individuals into giving their fair share of tzedakah. Except that there's a problem. Look at the Talmud in Chulin 110b, that's lines 57 through 61. Detanya kol mitzvat aseh shematan schara b'tzida, En Beit Din Shelamata Muzharin Aleha. It's stated in a Baraita. Whenever the Torah declares the reward for performing a positive mitzvah alongside the mitzvah itself, this indicates that the earthly Beit Din is not empowered to enforce that commandment. All right? Now, when you think about it, this makes a lot of sense. If the Torah specifies a mitzvah and then goes to the trouble of offering a positive inducement to perform it, a reward or a carrot, then obviously it's removing the stick from the hands of the court. As we read in Deuteronomy 15:10, this is exactly the case with tzedakah. Naton titein lo, v'lo yera bilvavcha betitcha lo, ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecha Hashem Elohecha b'chol ma'asecha u'v'chol mishlach yadecha. Lines 66 through 69, you must give tzedakah to him, bear no grudge in your heart, for when you give, for on account of this matter, Adonai your God will bless you in all your deeds and in all your works. It follows that the Beit Din should not enjoy the power to coerce tzedakah, right? The Torah specifies a blessing, right? And the Torah therefore wants us to give out of the goodness of our heart. It leaves this to positive reinforcement. But if so, then how could Rava have coerced Rav Natan Bar Ami into giving tzedakah? We might think that Rava did not know the halakha, but we don't want to say that. He was a great sage. So how did he deal with the fact that the Torah specifies a reward for giving tzedakah and yet apply coercion to somebody in order to make them give? Well, this is exactly the difficulty or the kasha raised by Tosafot, beginning with line 74. How do we explain Rava's use of coercion so that it does not run afoul of the rule in Masechet Chulin? And true to form, Tosafot offers not one, not two, but in this case, three terutzim, or resolutions, for this kasha. Line 85, Ve'yesh Lomar, induces terutz number one, Da'achpa'e bidvarim, that Rava coerced Rav Ami with words into giving tzedakah. Not with whips, but with words. I don't know, maybe verbal pressure, embarrassment, threats of humiliation, and public scorn, all of which may be quite effective, but we don't think of them as coercion, at least not the kind of coercion that involves physical means. And it's certainly not as efficient as that. The second terutz, lines 89 through 95, is Katzvu b'nehen b'nei ha'ir latet kach v'kach l'chodesh. That is, Rava did apply real physical coercion, but he was coercing Rav Nachman to pay a tax that had been levied upon all members of the community, presumably in accordance with their wealth. As we learn in Bava Batra 8b, the community is empowered lahasia al kitzatan, to punish those who violate rules like this one. So Rava's use of coercion was entirely proper. The problem with this terutz is that a tax, which is imposed by the community or state, is different from the obligation of tzedakah, which is imposed by the Torah. So we yet don't know that it's permissible to coerce the giving of tzedakah, the fulfillment of that Torah-itic mitzvah aseh. So we come to the final terutz, lines 97 through 100, which works by redefining the problem. V'od debitzdakah ikatarte lave. Lo ta'ametz v'lo tikpotz. In addition, tzedakah involves two negative mitzvot as well as a positive mitzvah. Those negative mitzvot are do not harden your heart and do not shut your hand, also found in Deuteronomy 15. I told you that was the important proof text in verse 7. That is, tzedakah is not simply a mitzvah aseh. It's more complicated than that. It involves prohibitions or thou shalt nots as well, which means that Rava is entitled to enforce it with coercion. He's not enforcing a positive commandment. He's punishing someone for violating a negative commandment. Now, the great 14th century Sephardic scholar Rabbi Yom Tov Ben Ishbili, or Ritva, speaks to the same problem in his Chiddushim to the Talmud. And he has a simpler explanation for all of this, for Rava's use of coercion, lines 105 through 114. Yes, he says, tzedakah is a positive mitzvah whose reward is stated alongside it, and normally we don't coerce fulfillment of such mitzvot. Aval, le'inyan tzedakah kayafinan, Mipnei machsoram shel aniyim. But when it comes to tzedakah, we do enforce obedience because of the needs of the poor. In other words, tzedakah is too important to be treated as just another positive mitzvah. Well, that, we think, is a pretty good way to conclude this series of shiurim on coercion. Yes, according to the Torah, we ought to want to do the right thing, to fulfill our responsibilities. We shouldn't have to be coerced into doing it. And there are mitzvot which seem to require that they be performed with a person's free will, freely arrived at consent. But just as the law will often use coercive measures to ensure that we act properly, so does the halakha, even when it comes to duties that seem to require our free will consent. It's an ongoing problem. On the one hand, it's vital that individuals arrive at their decisions freely, enter into agreements of their own accord. I mean, the whole concept of moral responsibility, that I can be held liable if I don't live up to my agreements, the whole concept assumes free will, it assumes consent. On the other hand, every community or society wants to ensure that justice is done, and some decisions may just be too important to leave to individual consent, even when apparently that consent is required in order to give those decisions any kind of legal force. Now, we liberals, who believe in free choice and moral obligation, in individual freedom and justice, are always going to face the challenge of balancing in our lives between these often conflicting objectives. Well, perhaps these shiurim have demonstrated that the halakha offers some insight as to how to think about that challenge and how best to secure that balance. This has been the 12-minute shiur number 16 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.